Welcome to Share Talk. Today I have the pleasure of speaking to Andrew Bell, who is the chairman of Regency Mines. How are you today?
Pretty well.
Well, things seem to be looking rosy at Rosa Mines.
That's one of the reasons why I'm feeling pretty well, yeah.
Right. Obviously, you've just released a RNS there. Would you like to, first and foremost, tell us about the sales contract in reference to CMC with other contracts available, please?
Yes, certainly. Would you like to hear first why we put out this RNS?
That could be a good starting point if you wish to
okay.
do that.
Yeah. Well, I had a bit of leisure time at the end of last week and over the weekend to catch up with the announcements from the Trump administration and actually study the regulations that they'd already lifted, what they were doing for the coal industry, sparked partly by a meeting at the end of last week with our partners in Alabama. And I began to get really enthusiastic because I saw that what was happening at the moment wasn't even beginning to reflect all of this, but that Obama in 2008 had actually said to people, we're going to drive the coal miners into bankruptcy and coal-fired power stations. And he was doing his level best to achieve that. So the transformation in atmosphere is already there. And I started talking to people about this, and I found that they'd been reading the same things and started looking at the same videos of him signing legislation or executive orders. And I realized that the penny was beginning to drop with investors and the price was going to go up this week, even without news. And then I thought, well, is there any news that might be deemed market sensitive that we might have? And I thought, well, that this Friday afternoon meeting I had, because we had the news that we'd signed contracts, which would be sufficient to take all the offtake we could possibly produce, that might be deemed market sensitive. Even though we'd said so many times that the demand was very strong, and therefore it would be better to sort of cleanse everything by getting things out there in the market rather than have the price go up and an inquiry from the exchange and then the Nomad asking us, is there anything you possibly know that could be market sensitive, and having to scramble to release it. So we tried to be sort of proactive and think what investors would like to hear. There's not a great deal of new news, but it's really confirmatory what we put out there. And I do suppose that it is quite important that we've got contracts. We've got one contract for fines, the fines you might have to throw away, so you're not going to get a great price for them. And so having a contract to buy them is really good. And also a contract to buy metallurgical coal, up to an amount that I don't think could be achieved, which still leaves it open to get higher value contracts later for some specialist uses.
In regards, obviously, to the byproducts then at the mine, with the contract in place for fines, is that obviously going to be all of the fines? That's obviously with that one contractor.
Well, some customers will take the coal you produce just as it is, which has a certain amount of fines with it, and some of them will have a tolerance for a certain percentage of fines, but you're usually left with some fines that are just sort of there. And having a customer who buy that is terrific, and to get a reasonably good price for that is terrific. I think it just shows the quality of this Rosa coal. And when you consider there's a market for the fines and that you start off with only 3 or 4% ash and after washing goes down to 1.8, you actually have a tiny, as long as you mine carefully, you have a tiny amount of residues requiring disposal. And since one of the big problems for the coal industry has been the environmental pressures, particularly under Obama, in relation to disposal of tailings and waste products and so on, which, of course, are greater in the case of steam coal for power stations than metallurgical coal for steel making, which is what we produce. Having so little that has to be thrown away is going to be a big advantage for us.
Could you just summarise for people that aren't fully aware of what is the difference between domestic coal and metallurgical coal, please?
Oh, well, there are different grades of coal, of course, and in London or in the United Kingdom, we're used to forms of coal. I shouldn't say in London, but in the United Kingdom, we're used to forms of coal that are very high calorific value that are maybe used in households. We know that the metallurgical coal is also high quality and is used to make steel. Unless you're recycling, you're going to need about 800 kilos of coking coal for every ton of steel produced. But then when you get down to lower quality coals and brown coals that are lower value and lignite, they can be used in power stations, for coal-fired power stations. And that is a little less clean, a little less pure. And this is the processes that cause atmospheric pollution. For example, it's a huge number of coal-fired power stations that have been built in China. At one stage, there was one being opened every 4 days that led to, I think, some of the smog in places like Beijing, although a lot of it is due to car emissions. So that's the environmentalist target is steam coal used for power stations, primarily. I don't think anybody supposes that you can make steel without coal, and I don't think anyone supposes you can have civilization enduring without steel.
Indeed, and under the Trump administration, it looks like they're going to need a lot of steel. And that leads me on to the next question. Obviously, with the Rosa coal sales, you've said that progress has remained on schedule for the sales within quarter one. So that only leaves you a month to get into production. Obviously, the highwall miner is now on the site and you're going to start stockpiling. Would you like to give us some background on what the coal sales depicts?
Yes. Now, of course, I'm not an expert miner, so I'm giving you the information as best I understand it, having had discussions with those who are actually operating. But it seems to me sensible what's being said, and I attach a degree of credence to it. Which is that we are about to be in a position where we can start producing coal or going into the coal seam, but that as the high wall miner gets operating, it will go through a running in period, and people will familiarize themselves with it, and the people working on it will familiarize themselves with the coal seam, and coal will be taken out. And some of it will start being washed or being prepared, and we'll see how the specifications measure up to what we expect and to what the customers require, so that by the third week in March, we should start being able to say, right, okay, we're happy to have this stuff picked up on these contracts by these people. But for a certain period up to then, we can keep the coal and make sure everything is running properly. It isn't like switching on an electric plug and the light coming on suddenly.
Now, you've obviously highlighted that your initial targets are producing at 1,000 tonnes per day.
Well, the target is actually very different from that, but I didn't want to use those figures because we'll just have to see how it works out. But I thought that 1,000 tonnes per day as the initial, or over 1,000 tonnes per day as the initial targeted volume, is true in itself and probably easily achievable, because even with an auger, we were reckoning that 800 tonnes per day was going to be possible.
In relation, obviously, then, to a potential maximum tonnes per day figure utilising the high waller, What could that be looking towards?
It would be very imprudent of me to give a figure for that. We'd really much rather wait until we've established a production level that's comfortable and then say what our next target is when it isn't too far away from what we're achieving.
Okay, now reference the 1,000 tons per day. Is that going to be 5 days a week or 7 days per week?
We will be planning to operate continuously, daily.
Okay. Right, the other part is obviously in relation to the washing of coal, and you've said that from this week you're going to be in continuous operation. What sort of output are you expecting there, and what costings are involved?
We'll be charging people. I think we were reckoning it would be perhaps $6 to $8 a ton, and we have people queuing up trying to deliver coal to us to be washed and processed. But rather than start off and then have to stop it to put in the new impeller and pump, we actually paused and put these things in last week so that we could run the plant at somewhere near the plate capacity. But we have, I think, quite a lot of coal being delivered from today, the trucks, and therefore our key guy on the ground there is who is dividing his time between this and a project in Virginia where he's also doing work for our partner. He's spending the next week on site there to make sure that all these truck movements are handled and that we get things working properly, because we'll actually be doing pretty high volumes for the first time.
So just a case of optimization and ensuring the equipment is running well.
Yeah, dealing with customers is when you don't want to be making mistakes.
Indeed. Just to touch on the last point within the news item then, is that the new joint venture, Valley Carbon Corporation, you've identified a suitable area permitted for the strip mining, and you're potentially looking at more sales volumes in excess of those, which could be done at Rosa.
Well, it's permitted, and so all you're needing to do is use excavators and trucks to handle that and to then go into the business of selling it. But you have to hire these vehicles, and each one of them has a cost. And so here we are, from a standing start, we're going to have some costs in sort of going into operation there. And it's just a question of how quickly one can do it, then how quickly one can get the plant at the right price. It's like I once heard a story about an Arab who bought an apartment in Park Lane, and he wanted to be able to move in the next Monday. By throwing enough money at it, the interior designers and decorators and plasterers and everybody and the furniture providers were actually able to get it ready to move in by that day. If you threw enough money at this, we could be very quickly in production. We don't have the money to do it as quickly as we'd like, but I think it's given that it's not a huge amount of money to hire in plant, it's going to be fairly quick. And then we will be producing, we hope, from two locations, and there isn't the same constraint when it comes to strip mining in building up volumes, so there shouldn't be.
Will the offtakes there be processed at Rosa Mine?
No, it's some way away. It's a long way away, but it's still in the Appalachians.
Yes.
But I think the offtake is almost, you might almost say that the offtake was there before the resource.
Okay. Is there anything further that you like to add there, Andrew?
Well, I don't know if you know Alice in Wonderland, when Alice bites a little bit of this mushroom and suddenly she starts to become huge. And I just feel that perhaps by luck, Regency has bitten off a little bit of a mushroom just at the right time. And we're suddenly finding that things are developing faster than we believe possible. And all the news seems to be on the positive side. And I can't see anything that's going to hold us back. But you know, touch wood. We're in the right place at the right time, in the right commodity, when the coal industries were waking up like Rip Van Winkle after a decade of persecution. And things are just a little slow getting going. People don't yet appreciate the scale of what's happening, and therefore there are still some fantastic opportunities. And I think we got some of the last ones. Things are now going to move so fast, the recognition is going to become so general that prices are going to go up, and assets there are going to become much more expensive to acquire.
Well, Andrew, it's been quite a short story from November to where you are now, to obviously get the asset and then start proving up what's there. And good luck to yourself and holders in the Regency mines.
Well, it's interesting. Some of our long-term shareholders who've made money with us before always said we were bull market animals, and maybe we're proving them right.
Well, it's been a pleasure speaking to you, Andrew. Thank you very much for your time today.
Thanks. Bye.